Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to another episode of Womanist Views. This is our Indigenous Women's Literary Journal feature. We will be joined by Tania Winder. She's the editor-in-chief, and Cassandra Lopez, who is the managing editor of the journal As Us, Indigenous Women's Literary Journal, which publishes works by underrepresented writers, particularly in the Indigenous women and other women of color. It gives rise to the unheard voices that usually give them a rightful place in scholarship and media spaces. As Us, Indigenous Women's Literary Journal provides a space and serves as a showcase for the creative literary expressions and scholarly work of both the emerging and established women writers from around the world. So Tania and Cassandra will join us today to speak about this wonderful journal, the types of work that they publish, as well as engage in a discussion about them. It's a little bit more important about providing spaces for Indigenous voices and those of other women of color. Once again, Womanist Views is created, produced, and co-hosted by Charisse Charles, and is dedicated to broadcasting the voices of women who are doing positive and exciting things in their communities around the globe. So once again, this the journal actually goes right along with our very own mission here at Womanist Views. Hello, and welcome to Womanist Views.
Hello.
Hi. So do we have Tania or Cassandra on the line, or both of you?
Cassandra.
Thank you for joining us and calling in. We are so excited to have you on. Once again, it's because there's a lot of, I guess, crossover in your mission of the journal and what we do here at Womanist Views as far as being that platform for underserved women voices, women of color voices, and the work that we do.
Yeah,
Go right ahead. No, please, you go right ahead.
I was worried that my partner in crime, as I like to call her, I was like trying to wonder what happened to her, if she's on yet, but no, I guess not.
No, not yet, and I haven't seen on the boards, nothing flooding up for a call, and I think we're expecting, but haven't seen it just yet. So can you introduce a little bit by yourself while we're waiting and share a little bit about your background and the role that you play in the As Us, Indigenous Womanist Literary Journal?
Sure. I'm a writer and teacher. I'm originally from Southern California. I am Chicana and Native California Indian, and I currently live in Seattle. And I met my co-editor in grad school at the University of New Mexico, where we were in the same MFA program for creative writing. And shortly after that, we began the journal after we graduated.
Wonderful. So when exactly did you launch the journal, and what led to the decision that you guys made to go ahead and create this journal?
So through our own sort of challenges as writers, you know, emerging writers, we have faced our own challenges and trying to think of where do we fit in the literary world? How can we make, we're running up against challenges, publishing and not, you know, feeling a little bit unwelcome or unsure. And so in response to that, we wanted to create a really welcoming space and platform like the show for writers that we knew, writers of color, women of color that we knew were doing really exceptional work. So we thought we could both like publish, be a space, and also be a platform to, just let other people know about the writers that we knew that were out there. And through that process, we were able to really like come into contact with a lot of other writers that we, you know, didn't know anything about, but we've been really impressed and we've been able to build this community through the journal.
Wonderful. So why is it, what do you see was the most important, or why is it so imperative to publish, and not even publish, but document the works of the Indigenous women and other women of color through your journal? I think that you kind of touched on this when you were saying that it increases their visibility because you discover people that you didn't even know about yourself. Is that correct?
Yes. And, you know, there has been a lot of sort of controversies it's been brought to the attention, more brought to the attention about the need to publish and women, diverse, marginalized groups, underrepresented groups, with, you know, in a variety of ways where you'll see in a literary journal, there was a literary journal that published a New York issue, and there was I don't think there was any people of color writers featured in that magazine. So you have things like that happening, or the call for We Need Diverse Books in Children's Literature, where you are not seen represented, or you're seeing this expectation that the sort of stereotypical, like all Native American art literature is going to look at a certain way, or African American literature, or Latino literature, or what have you, will all look a certain way. And we know that, like, as writers of color who read other writers of color, we know that that's just, you know, there's incredible diversity within these writers of color. So we wanted to be able to kind of showcase that as well.
Interesting that you point that out, because it just seems like the literary world, in a way, mimics what's going on in what people think of in Hollywood, television, and film. Because what you're describing with that particular journal, having a New York issue, is kind of like having the show Friends based in New York and no people of color. And if you've ever been to New York, you want to know, how is that possible? They're everywhere. So I see that crossover. That's very interesting.
Yes, and, you know, there's and it comes down, like, that, you know, that comes up, and journals have started to think about ways that go beyond also tokenizing, because sometimes that will happen. I've had it happen to me where someone will contact me to solicit, and they won't say anything about my work. They'll just be like, I really need a diverse writer, like quotations, right? Can you submit? But that feels to me very like marginalizing me and my work, because they don't really even care what it is. They just want someone to, like, fill the quota. And that's not what we're about at all. And we try to not be about that, because we're much more about community and much more about letting the work stand for itself. You know, we don't have certain expectations about what our writers, you know, should be writing about.
Well, I appreciate you discussing that. I do a lot of diversity lecturing myself, and that is exactly my problem that I try to point out and warn people against. And again, I'll say it translates to different fields. And again, you are once again, you know, verifying that for me, that again, we do this whole thing where we just want a quota fill, but is that really diversity? So thank you. I really appreciate that.
Yeah. And some of that comes down to, like, it's good that some journals are thinking about what are the ways, and you'll see now some, because it used to be that, well, journals would be like, I'm reading blind, so the journal would be reading blind, so they don't see themselves as, like, it's only if it's good work, right? Well, if your writers are all, I mean, if your editors are all non, you know, all from the majority, and all don't read, you know, under other types of writing, and, you know, there's some, you know, it's structural, it goes down to structural issue, then, you know, they might not be aware, you know, and so instead to think about, like, you know, making it a more welcoming, encouraging writers of color to submit, and making sure they have editors that are from these underrepresented groups, you know, within the managing editorial positions, or the readers, et cetera. So I think that there, you know, there has been a move. The critique has had, some people get defensive, while other people, you know, actually try to make the move to make these changes.
Thank you again. So can you share some of the themes and topics that are covered in some of the past issues of the journal? Do you guys go by theme, or is it an open submission? And what type of stories have been published?
So we do open calls, but we also do themed issue. And sometimes, because we like to do a lot of collaborations, sometimes community organizations or just people will come to us with different ideas, and we try to work with them. So we did a queer issue. We have done an issue, a small issue that was only online, that was for in response to a violence against women and children. We have done a, what else have we done? Oh, we have done, we worked with an organization to have a contest for Native youth writers. We have also had, our last issue was the theme decolonization, but it also featured, we worked with two organizations that work with incarcerated writers, and they selected and contributed to that issue. So we were very, you know, we like to work with different organizations. If people bring ideas to us, and we're trying to like figure out how to make that work. We're going to do another issue that's going to be about women of color in academia. So that's in the future, that someone came to us with that idea. And that, so then we're going to do a themed issue about that.
Have you seen from your contributors any intersecting themes or shared experiences that kind of come up in their writing styles and in the storylines that they put forward? Are there any kind of unification and unifying themes that you do see?
As I said, it's quite diverse in terms of, you know, what people write about, but there's always things like there's universal themes, you know, like love and loss and just trying to identity. And you really see, even though people are dealing with these from an individual perspective, are, you know, very specific, you start to see as you read that there are a lot of connections between the writers, what they're doing. They're writing about similar ideas or topics, but from their own sort of specific place. So we usually end up finding sort of connections, you know, all over the place, unexpected, you know, connections in the work.
Okay, great. You mentioned that you have a very diverse pool of writers, and I can only imagine the contributing authors. Are they mostly from the U.S., or do you have some submissions from around the world, the different countries that you can possibly mention?
Yeah, so we do international, we don't just accept writers, or we don't just solicit or accept writers from the U.S. We have writers from all over the Caribbean, Canada, England, but, you know, like they're from England, but they're writing from a particular set of place, you know, they have roots in other places. Also, different countries in Africa. And also people who are living in sort of like, they have this diaspora experience, you know? So
yeah.
They're in the U.S., but they also have roots or have lived, you know, roots in other countries. So there, you know, there's that experience as well.
We're here talking about the work that is in your journal, but we haven't mentioned the type of work that you actually publish. So if you want to share the type of submissions that you do accept.
So we accept a broad category of things, and we even say on our website, if you even think that it might, like if we don't have it as a category, but you think that it might fit, you know, go ahead and send it. So we're pretty open. Like, we haven't published any plays, but we're open to that, right? But we mostly publish poetry, fiction, nonfiction, this next issue is actually going to have some academic essays. We also publish because we're online. We also like to use that form. So sometimes we have recordings of like especially the poetry, but we've had instances where we have a dance submission where the submission, it was inspired by one of the poems, and then the dancer choreographed a dance in response to that. We have a video poem. We have, what else? Artwork, of course. So lots of like different types of genres. And I'm always excited about sort of like mixed media or what, you know, people like, you know, sending us something unexpected. You know, we're really open to that, along with the traditional sort of forms. And book reviews. That's something that's really important. That's a part, I feel like that's part of our sort of like part of how we serve, we can be a platform for other writers and also how we create community, because our book reviews are usually written by past contributors, and there are books that, you know, we think that our writers would be, our readers would be interested in. So typically books that are written from writers of color or might, you know, be of some interest to them.
I'm glad that you pointed that out, because I've been seeing a lot of people, usually a lot of especially independent authors, talking about the importance of this book review. As you said, it's a platform for other authors and visibility, but as a way, again, just to help them along in their careers in a way, to get them out there. And even, you know, so book reviews are very important because for that very reason. So I'm glad that you're really pointing that out. I'm seeing so many things around. People were thinking it's a kind of a dying trend. Why should we bother do this? People should just read the book. But if the book is unknown or if that author is undiscovered, I think having a book review is invaluable. So I'm glad that you pointed out that you guys really look out for those kind of things and contributions.
Yeah, and you know, yeah. Like, and sometimes we, you know, we will even do like a old, like a book that, you know, it's been out, you know, a couple of years. If we feel like, well, no one has really heard of this book, you know, so let's get it into people, you know, let's bring it up again. Let's get people talking about it. Let's, you know, have something written about it. And I think also, like, book reviews, you know, yes, they're evaluating the book, but they also can, like, spark a discussion about the book. They don't just have to be, you know, a review. You know, it can lead to more discussion about the topic.
Okay. So how can one submit to the journal? What process do they use for submissions?
So we use, we submit, people submit online through Submittable. There's a link to our website. We, you know, a lot of journals, you know, it's online these days. For us, we're not in the same, my co-editor and I, we're not in the same, you know, space. We're not in the same state. We're not in the, so it just makes the most sense. But yes, they can be submitted. Right now we're closed for submission, but we will be opening up in the, once we release our next issue, we'll be opening up submissions for our spring issue.
Wonderful. And it's understood. I think it's great that you guys are able to collaborate in a virtual platform to put this journal out and put it together. I think that's the best thing in the era that we now live in, that we can do these things. I noticed that in the journal you had guest editors in the past. So if someone was interested in being guest editing an issue, how may they begin that process? And that's something, this question was sparked by somebody following in our web space on Facebook. So.
They can just email, go to our website, find our As Us journal email, and, you know, pitch a topic to us, and, you know, we can take it from there. As I said, the topic that came up was about, you know, women of color in academia, you know, and that's something that we were like, yes, we see a need for that. Let's, you know, do that. And sometimes, like, we're sort of, it has to be sort of planned ahead. So we're, you know, we want to have, sometimes we want to have these open themes, open, you know, to anything. And sometimes we want to have these things, and we are looking for more. We're kind of expanding. It used to be just my co-editor and I, but now we're like sort of broadening the team. We're bringing in more people. We've brought in some different genre editors, someone to help us with our social media. And, you know, these are all volunteers. But so we're expanding, and we're definitely going to be continue to have guest editors. Oh, and that's one thing I should mention, too, is that if you contact us, if you would like to receive, if you're thinking about teaching it, if you would like to teach it, and we have someone who's working on a study guide for the last issue. So if you're
wonderful.
A teacher, it could be a resource.
I think we took a break to do this, but do you want to share the website address again and email address? And that we're mentioning how to get in contact with you. We should tell them where to get in contact with you.
Yeah, that'd probably be a good, I sometimes base on that. So it's just asusjournal.org. So asusjournal.org.
Great. And how did you come up with the name of the journal? I'm going through a few questions that I received and were asked to put forth to you, so now that's what I'm doing. And everyone thought that the name was very interesting. So if you want to give the backstory on the name of the journal.
Well, so it came about sort of discussion about what our mission is, and the idea that, you know, as we were saying that, as I was saying before, we have these sort of individual experiences, or we're these individual things that we're writing about, but we're really coming together, so that I think that us is important, and also sort of taking, we want it to be like a community type of feeling to the magazine, where yes, we are, you know, the editors, but it's really, you know, a community that we're trying to create with the readers, along with, you know, our contributors. So that's where that sort of comes from.
Thank you. The last question I'm going to pose to you that came off of our list of that we put out there and we collected from those who read about the announcement of today's show, is could you provide your definition of Indigenous women? And I kind of thought about that question. I think this may be relating to the fact that there are Indigenous communities of various races and ethnicities around the globe, but we would love to hear your response to that question. Could you provide your definition of Indigenous women?
So we take a very sort of more, very, like as you were saying, open sort of, idea about Indigenous. So, you know, a lot of times people may think of sort of Indigenous only as people from, you know, the Americas or North America. And when we originally started it, it was just Indigenous. And we meant to be to be an inclusive term, but there are people that didn't see it as, like, didn't know if they fit into that category. So that's why we added the women of color as well. I mean, but we do see it as an inclusive of Indigenous people from the Pacific, from, you know, Pacific Islands, from South America, from, you know, a lot of different places. So we mean it in a sort of inclusive way. And I think it's in a political way, too, that if you see yourself as Indigenous or identify that, you're aligning yourself with other people, other Indigenous people. So we kind of view it both as a communal sense and a political sense.
Wonderful. Thank you for providing that very well thought out and inclusive definition. I think it's great that people get an understanding that it's not really geographically bound. So that it's great. Is there anything else that you would like to share with our audience today in regards to your journal and how they can get involved, or any other projects that you're going to have? And a little bit more about the study guide would be great if you would like to take this time now.
Yeah, so as I said, we're bringing in some additional people to help with the journal, and one of the people we are bringing in is creating a study guide to go along with the magazine. We'll help people who want to teach it, and it has been taught in colleges, in various colleges as individual works, as long as the whole text, and it's also been used sort of in response. So in one is a social work class, the professor used it and then had their students create their own journal with it, with that idea in mind, you know, this sort of communal community type of space. As I said, we do give out teacher's copies. You can also, if you like, want to get a sense of what, you know, what the issue is, what kind of writing we publish, you can look online. And I think, like, in terms of if people want to submit, we're really, like, although we have guest editors, so our guest editors have different, maybe have different aesthetics than we do sometimes, but we're really interested in writing that, you know, has meaning. Someone once told me, Sarah, like, when I was mentioning the journal, oh, I heard that journal, it's very radical. It was like, what? I don't think of it as radical, but I can understand why it might be seen, because we just, like, we want writing that means something, that makes people feel, you know. And when we come to a piece, we're like, oh, I wish I could have wrote that, or and I think that sometimes can be radical, and just the space in itself where it, yes, we're saying that we want to this is what we want to publish, but there's no sort of like specific, we only, you know, publish radical poets or anything like that. But I mean, we definitely want to feel something when we read the pieces. Yeah, did that?
Well, thank you again. Radical is a very relative term, so I think there's a lot of times people don't want to be faced with some truisms, and the easiest way to say it's just too radical for me to deal with, and you know that usually comes from some point of privilege that you don't have to think about these things. So it's too radical of an idea to think about. So I'm glad you're not censoring your contributors in that way.
No, and I think maybe it's radical in the sense of what, like, traditional, literary, you know, is going on in the sort of traditional literary world. So we're very sort of, like, as you said, sort of open, especially because we're online, we can be open to, like, different sort types of genres that would not work in just a traditional print. At the same time, I mean, originally we wanted it to just be online because we thought, oh, this would be very accessible for a lot of people, right? Because if you get something published, you can share it, you know, your friends can, family can read it and all that. But people actually requested the hard copies. And one thing I would say that we have, like, really lovely artwork on our issues. We've had three of the artworks have been from Native women artists, and then the other one is from one of the incarcerated writers' artwork. And so we typically feature artwork that we're sort of like inspired by, that, you know, and then I think that the artwork is really, you know, it's really good. So that's one reason I think maybe people like to have the print copy of it as well.
Print copy, yes, sure. Well, thank you, Cassandra Lopez, Managing Editor of ASVS, Indigenous Women's Literary Journal, for joining us here today on Women is Views. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining us. Again, Women's Views was created and produced and co-hosted by Sharice Charleswell and my team here, and it's dedicated to broadcasting the voices of women doing positive things around the globe.